It's time for your North Iowa news on 95.1 The Bull for Thursday, July 16th. I'm Mark Pitts reporting. State and local officials celebrated grand opening and ribbon-cutting ceremonies Wednesday for Charles City's newest affordable housing units. Commonwealth Development of Wisconsin led the project, now known as the Collective on 13th, a $12 million housing community available to those making 30, 40, 60, and 80% of the area median income, with residents eligible under Section 42 housing, according to Mayor Dean Andrews.
The people that live here have to have an income. So this is for people who maybe can't afford a $200,000 house, but they need a nice quality place to live. What their job, you know, is able to pay for this, and they do get some assistance. So again, it's another step in providing, hopefully, more workers work in our community to be able to live in our community and live in quality housing.
Tim Fox with the Charles City Area Development Corporation notes the housing project was 4 years in the making.
It was October 2022. When Charles City Area Development first investigated the notion that industrial property could be housing property, we had a number of variables that coalesced to make this true: infrastructure, proximity to industry, proximity to hospital, proximity to services. And now we have this glorious day.
Things took off after Charles City was named a thriving community in 2024 by the Iowa Economic Development Authority and the Iowa Finance Authority, represented on Tuesday by Bernadette Beck.
When IFA and IEDA created the Thriving Communities, it was really, Charles City took that idea and ran with it. It is wonderful to see this project come online. It is absolutely the type of community that we would love to support, that we love to put assistance in and have Commonwealth come and join us to do that, to make housing affordable for Iowans and stay here in our communities.
Commonwealth says the 40-home community offers 1 to 3 bedroom apartments, plus clubhouse, fitness center, and leasing office. It's being managed by Indigo Living, a West Des Moines-based property management company, which says about half of the units are rented or spoken for. Meanwhile, across the street to the north, Cading Properties of Urbandale is developing market-rate housing and is expected to build units for around 130 households, with a target to open in summer of 2027. Fox says Cading will hold a ribbon cutting next Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Rudd Rockford Marble Rock and North Butler school boards meet jointly this evening to explore possibilities for sharing athletic and or academic programs.
A couple months ago, we had pursued possibly sharing a band teacher with them, possibly a chorus teacher. We're just looking for opportunities. We don't necessarily need a full-time position, but we need a part-time. And we're just trying to see if that's going to be a good fit with North Butler. And if schedules align, then maybe we can go with it. And if they don't, well, then we'll look other places.
That's new RRMR Superintendent Nick Johnson, who says no action will be taken tonight. It's just open dialogue to share ideas that could benefit students and their communities.
We're always looking at using our operational sharing opportunities. We need a social worker that we had last year that we've lost. HR department, we're looking for shared opportunities. So those things just bring added dollars to the district, and that's just something that we keep open communications all the time.
In each of the last two seasons, RRMR had to drop girls varsity basketball due to insufficient numbers. Last fall, the Warriors suspended their 8-man football team for the second time in 4 years.
We're looking for, you know, numbers, and that's been kind of our hindrance with some winter sports. And so those opportunities, we want to stay there for Rudd Rockford Marble Rock. If we can make a sharing agreement happen as far as in some sports, then by all means, that's going to be beneficial to us and be able to keep things going.
Johnson, also RRMR high school principal, adds that program sharing, especially in athletics, has been an increasing norm in neighboring states.
If you look at surrounding states, you know, like Wisconsin, there's been towns that have been doing it for years. They stayed as an educational facility, but yet they share with two other school districts around them that form a athletic department. And those opportunities just seemingly now with financial struggles are coming around the state of Iowa.
In a joint letter to school families, staff, and community members, Johnson and North Butler Superintendent Brian Boyson noted, as school districts across Iowa continue to navigate declining enrollment, increasing operational costs, and ongoing workforce challenges, school leaders have an important responsibility to explore opportunities that strengthen educational programs while remaining good stewards of taxpayer resources. The joint meeting of the school boards is scheduled for 6 o'clock this evening in the Media Center at North Butler Community School in Green. While it may be a good problem to have, Chickasaw County may actually have too much money. During this week's supervisors' meeting, Board Chair Jacob Hackman laid out that better-than-expected revenues, combined with unspent money that departments gave back at the end of the 2025-2026 fiscal year on June 30th, has created an interesting financial picture.
When I add the numbers from last June to this June, it's roughly $700,000 to $800,000 more money in the pool cash. If indeed we have to get that general basic down to a 35% ending fund balance, I don't want to just go on a spending spree. I think we have to look at the bigger picture. But if the law states we have to have a 35% ending fund balance on June 30th of 27, my numbers share that we have a 64% ending fund balance today. That means we have to drop it down to a 35. And what does that look like for us?
Hackman said the county will have to work harder to formulate budgets in the future with tighter, more accurate numbers.
Just an example, I'm not picking on any department, but the sheriff's office gave back a total of $225,000. You know, I think that's roughly 9%. We got to get tighter. We have to get closer to a working budget than these ups and downs, because we got to manage the 35%. That's going to be harder to do if you give back so much. Not saying go spend all your money. I'm not saying that. But we got to be tighter. We cannot be having 50, 60% ending fund balances.
Meanwhile, Hackman and County Auditor Sheila Shackleton lauded County Treasurer Matt Isbrand for his efforts to manage funds in ways that have generated extra income for the county.
Because I think interest alone was close to $400,000 or $500,000. I mean, we're not in the business to make money. Don't get me wrong. But thank you, Matt, for putting that in money market accounts, investing that as an offset of property tax.
He actually brought in, Matt's part was $727,000.
In revenue, interest and services rendered to the state.
All in all, Hackman says Chickasaw County sits in better financial shape than many others. Still, they'll continue to look for more efficiencies, with recent conversations of selling off the Law Enforcement Management Center on South Lynn Avenue and consolidation of offices into the courthouse in New Hampton and or the Heritage Center just south of New Hampton. More North Iowa news on the way on 95.1 The Bull.